Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah, we skipped last week. At the time of this recording, we've gone through the first week of the NFL season. It was nuts getting to that point. It's funny, it's like at this point in the maturity of our company, once the season starts, there's usually some time of things that we have to like patch up a few things, but once it starts, it's fine. It will be absolutely busier, and especially on support, they're going to feel it there, but it's not like much changes. It's more, we know we're going to get a huge influx of new trials, and we want to make sure like everything is ready to take advantage of that. And so, I mean, at this point, we are up 140% on trials over last month. And so that's like pretty normal. It's like trials just shoot way up and people are really more willing to buy than in a mid-season thing because they're excited for the season, all of that. So it was a mad dash getting as much in place for that as we could. I definitely took on like way too much and did a really bad job prioritizing because just a lot of that was stressing me out ultimately just like didn't matter that much. But help me get more clarity on the prioritization and all the other stuff I've been thinking about a lot. And regardless, like it all went well and feeling calmer now. It's seen some good growth, but also more holistically see a good path for us going forward. So yeah, feeling pretty good right now.
140% is nothing to shake a stick at, man. We're up 25% last month, which like we don't have seasonality. So I was like, fuck yeah, that's like really great. But 140% is amazing. Like you have to feel really good about that. Is that like a similar amount of growth as last football season?
Well, so to be clear, that's of trial starts. It's not as though we like doubled the company.
Yeah.
But it looks like, let me bring it up. Making for great radio. I mean, so trials have pretty consistently been trending up in general. And so that's where it's hard. I try not to look at absolute numbers. Really, what we try to do is set a new high watermark. Now that we're at least past the COVID weirdness with sports seasons and everything else, and who knows what happens in the future, but like basketball starts up a month after football, a little over a month. And really when that kicks off is usually like the high watermark as far as revenue goes. And then we try to just keep as much of that as we can throughout the year and then see if we can get another bump next time around. And so for trials, those have actually like, we were getting more trials every month of the year, even after football season, but we would typically see like a pretty big bump at the start of the season. And this one actually, like looking at it now, does look bigger. I have no idea why. And that's the thing is like, I don't know how I could read into that, but it's definitely like a bigger jump where, yeah, I mean, we already actually even, this is where profitable, like, I don't know exactly what it's showing me when it says like the percentage versus August, but it actually might be, I think we're actually like up 137% on trials as of September 16th. Versus all of August, like not this period in August, looking at the numbers now.
Oh, wow.
It's been big, and I think this is, long story short, seems like a bigger jump than in the past, but that one's hard to say, really.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. How have things been going on your end?
Good. You know, I think we talked last episode of the episode before, you know, about, in my mind, and I know it's not exactly right, like kind of doing more of what's already working, right? Is like finding that best customer and best use case for that best customer and kind of doing more of that. There was a thread on Twitter from Joel from Buffer talking about, you know, they like, so they're a transparent company, right? Like you can see all their metrics on the Buffer open startups page. And like, they've been going down, they've been kind of trending down for a while. And like someone called him out on it and I didn't think that was cool. And he had a really insightful thread. And like, I mean, they, you know, dude, they are like amazingly helpful to all of us, right? Because this is all of the shit that we all think about and don't get a chance to talk to anyone else about, really. And they're out there like literally on Twitter talking about how like they screwed up. and they got away from their core, like audience and focus and type of customer. And as he says, that we tried to go enterprise and we're not an enterprise company and all these kinds of things. And putting that together with like what we talked about before, like I think the thing that I am realizing is like, if you get away from what got you here, it's really risky because you're reinventing the company, kind of, you know, to some degree, you know. And I think that's what we did in the last year, like hiring a sales team and going after like enterprise level private podcasting, like to some degree has worked and to some degree hasn't, because no matter what you do, even like raising money and just adding people to the team, it takes your focus away from the things that have worked so far, which for like for us are content marketing, organic, you know, inbound, people signing up for a trial and converting to a $19 a month plan. You know, like that's our bread and butter. And that's what got us to this point. And like, I think you see like some opportunities for like, ooh, but we could go after this higher paying customer, or we could go after, you know, this one use case. And I'm talking for myself that like that one customer might be individually better, but your ability to find and convert and retain those customers might be way less than maybe like the average customer that you get in a different way, if you know what I mean. And so that's just something like I'm putting all these pieces together in my mind and realizing that like just a higher paying customer is not better, because there's a lot of other things to consider with how they contribute to growth, I guess.
I agree that a higher paying customer doesn't have to be better. I don't necessarily think it's because of how they contribute to growth. I think it's more of like they need different things. Does your team have the skills? Not even just the skills. I don't mean that as like a beginner versus expert thing. It's more just like are the capabilities the team excels at, like things they do really well, doesn't match up with what that customer needs. And not just that, but like, is this how the team wants to spend their time? Because yeah, one of the things that I went really deep on is just the idea of, I think really all businesses need to be optimized for their whale. Typically that means like whoever's spending the most. And I mean like in the free to play, but pay to win games, it's the people who just are going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to beat this game. And like, that's the extreme. But I kind of touching on what I just said, I think you can define a whale, like who is your whale? I mean, it doesn't need to be the biggest, but it's just like, what is the right thing for you to go after? But like, who is that sweet spot of good customer, pays you enough, stays for longer, that sort of thing. And then, I mean, for us, if we were to be able, like, go after who would pay us the most, we would be a consultancy. And I think that's, frankly, I like most, like if most companies took it to the extreme, like that's what would happen, is there are a handful of people that would pay hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for things that we could do. That's not at all interesting to us. So it's like kind of just like ruling that out and then figuring out what works for us. But I think it's really accepting this and more than that, like embracing it and then ruthlessly prioritizing around it. And I think it's that second part where things can go wrong, because maybe this is just me, but I feel like in my experience in companies, people often spend more energy focused on convincing people to have the beliefs that their best customers have. And it's not that that can't work. It's not that nurturing and everything else shouldn't have a place in your strategy. But we often do that at the expense of alienating or just ignoring the people who already feel that way and giving them what they need. And I think like that's one of the big shifts that should come from this, is that kind of coming full circle with what you're saying originally of just like, I know I randomly talk about like Bayesian probability and things on this, where it's like the things that work are more likely to continue working than the things that haven't. And so it's like the skills you have, you know you have them. There's more certainty around that. And so you want to push that and develop them. But trying to just like pick up an entire new skill from scratch, it can work, but the certainty is way lower and the length of time to get there is much higher because you're starting from zero. And I think that also applies to this education component. It's like, okay, yeah, if you want to scale as big as possible, you need to create demand. You need to get people who don't know that they have this problem to realize they have a problem and then see that you're the solution. But in any of the spaces that we're playing, and the vast majority of listeners are playing, that's to go from well in 8 figures to 9 figures and up. Like you can absolutely get to 10 million, 20 million plus ARR just by focusing on the people who know that this is a problem they want to solve. And I think that's really hard to do because the questions that you get on support, the issues that come up, it's all from those people who aren't fully bought in, who don't realize how important this is, who don't get what they're ultimately trying to do. And so it's super easy to get distracted by that and focus on like helping them. It's like, oh, like, no, this is pretty simple. Like, let me just explain it this way and that way. It's like, could you speak to the people that already know, hey, I need this, but how do I just practically use it? Like, I already know what I'm trying to do, but I don't know how to do that in your tool. Yeah, so I'll stop there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I'll just be like really transparent about like the kind of mental journey we've been on, right? Is like, we still believe private podcasting is a really big deal, right? In the podcasting space. And that's been our big focus in the last year and a half. And a lot of good things have come from that. And I think that that has led us to asking questions like, just think about it from a product and then like product as it applies to like customer persona perspective. It's like, hey, if we're a podcasting company that likes private podcasting, what other kinds of things have like paid subscriptions, right? And so you start thinking about like, oh, Substack, right? Or, oh, Teachable, you know, as like a LMS, or oh, Podia as like a all-in-one kind of membership course kind of place. Like, and like we've asked ourselves, like, do we want to do that as like a company? And there's a lot to like about all of those companies, right? Like they all are in this like, hey, we help you make money. And that's really cool. Like that's a super cool thing. And like, if I had to go back 5 years, I don't know that I wouldn't try to enter one of those niches because like the talk track is just so clear and it's so compelling. Like, hey, we help you make money online and help you kind of live this dream. Like it's so cool. And you see the convert kits and the Podias and the Teachables and the Kajabis talk about
that. Can I jump in on that a little bit with my thoughts? So I'm not trying to put words in my mouth because I don't think this is what you're saying, but I think this is a mistake that a lot of companies make. And I say mistake in air quotes because you can still be really successful with it. I mean, like, in my opinion, ClickFunnels is the definition of this, and that's like a 9-figure ARR business. So it's not that you can't make it work, but like, help you make money, help you make more money. That's a straightforward, like, sales proposition. It's like, hey, this will make you more money. Where a lot of people that play in that space end up is focused on teaching people how to make their first dollar. And I think that's the mistake. Like that's not focusing on the whale. It's saying, we can help you make more money. Let's find the people who are already making some money and help them get more because they have very different needs than the people trying to make their first dollar. They have much higher willingness to pay. They're going to have less support issues, everything else. And I think it's like, that's kind of the nuance that I'm talking about. It is within those worlds, picking the ones that already have shown that they're willing to spend on this, or at least like could spend on this, rather than trying to squeeze as much as you can out of a dry sponge. And I think that's where like, but there's a lot of sponges out there. Like there's a lot of those people who are just getting started or want to get started. And that's where I think like those businesses can hit a local maximum of over-optimizing for those types of customers, growing pretty quickly, because you can get enough money from them up front with just like low touch info product kind of stuff. And then when you're stuck in that rabbit hole, like you're not coming out because the actual people you want to get aren't even looking there. They see that you're down there, they don't want to go there. And this is just to be very clear, like I'm not saying this specifically about Podia or ConvertKit or any of the others, but just in that space, and there's equivalence with everything else, but in like help desk software. Like I know we spent a lot of time at Groove. I spent a lot of time at Groove thinking about how do I tell people who are currently doing support out of Gmail that this is a bad problem. Like this is a real problem. Like they shouldn't be doing that. When it should have been not just focused on people who already knew that, but also people who had more than one sales rep already and were having problems with the workflow and like actively looking for solutions. And that's just like a distinction I wanted to get clearer about. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I have a very specific, whatever, analogy in our world, right, of that. So, but in a minute. we say like, hey, you know, private podcasting, does that lead to kind of a creator tool or a creator CMS or a subscription platform or something like that? Those are all super sexy for all the reasons you just said. There's a lot of nuance to potential downside of those. And so we said, yeah, that's really interesting, but like, that's just not us, right? Like we are not that, we're a podcasting company. And so it's really liberating to go full on back into being a podcasting tool. One, because we already are, right? And two, like, I just think that there's a lot here. I will say in all fairness, like, I think a little bit of like what Joel said on Twitter. And then I had something about this too, is like, we only explore this because growth got harder for us. And I think that's what a lot of companies do is, right? Growth slows down and it's the economy or it's whatever. And you got to this point and blah, blah, blah. Like you start asking dumb questions to yourself. and that's like 100% what we did. I'm glad we only asked those questions and didn't have this massive pivot or something like that. But I think that that's just like for everyone listening, like if times are tough, like don't do different stuff just because times are tough. Like you can ask yourself those questions, but like if you've had a successful business, the chances are you'll continue to have a successful business if you do the things that got you here better. And so like to your point, that's what we're doing. And it's really cool because like we've asked ourselves these questions and gone through these exercises mentally. And to your point about being really specific about our best customers, and it's just for us. And I think everyone can, like your help desk scenario at Groove is a good one, right? Like your best customers were people that were doing support already in another tool, right? And like our best customers, and it's like metrics driven, we can see it, are people that already have podcasts and want to import them to Castos from Simplecast or SoundCloud or Libsyn or whatever. 100%, they convert better, they stay longer, all this kind of stuff. And so I think that like, that's the kind of stuff, like from a product perspective and from a UX perspective and from a marketing perspective even, like that's just like, those are the easy wins. And like, as opposed to us trying to convince someone to start a podcast, right? Imagine like taking this to the extreme is like, what would never work is for us to do like outbound prospecting to a company to say, hey, you need to find budget. You need to convince someone on your marketing team to do this and create the content. You need to get the CEO on board because they have to be the face and the voice of the podcast. You need to come up with a content plan. You need to do all of this shit. And then, oh yeah, you can host your podcast with us and that's great. And maybe use our services or whatever. Like that's whatever, 15 decisions they have to make, right? As opposed to the person that's already podcasting and already has a show, just doesn't like Libsyn because it's built in the 90s. Like come over here and we have a great new cool plan. And oh, we can do all this private podcasting stuff if you want to. Like, it's just so much easier and better that like, I don't know, like I've been doing this 5 years and like decently successful. Don't know why like all this stuff is just occurring to me, but like, it's, I mean, I don't know, whatever. I'm proud of myself for like being aware enough to realize this stuff. And that's kind of like the lesson I've had recently.
Yeah. I think it's an important lesson. And for me, it's one that I need to keep reminding myself of, because again, I was like those ideal customers, however you're defining them, are not usually the most vocal. They're almost by definition not. And so when you just keep getting all these complaints when all these things seem to be going wrong, and you have to like take that step back and be like, wait a second, like, do these people, like, do we care about them that are the ones complaining? Like, are our best customers actually having this problem? And it really came home for me when, I mean, the opening week for football is just busy. It's always going to be busy on support. And so it's kind of all hands on deck helping out there. And so I was jumping in to just give the guys some help when they were getting a bit overwhelmed. And I would just see the things that they were spending the most time on and be like, okay, like, yeah, this is a really weird issue and it's really hard to troubleshoot. And you're jumping in a log rocket to try to figure out exactly what's going on and all this and that. But it's like the person asking this question is giving you no information. They're trying to do something ridiculous that they shouldn't be doing. And we're spending most of our time figuring it out, logging this bug, when we should say, hey, honestly, on our end, I can't quite figure out like exactly what happened with this. Can you give me a bit more information so that I can help troubleshoot this and get it solved? Because we don't want to ignore anybody. But at the same time, like we all, our personalities are just like jump in, try to figure it out. When it's like, wait, first, a lot of these people, like, we know this is not an urgent thing. It's something that's going wrong and they're mad, but like, it'll be okay. But if they're not helping at all to try to figure this out, if they're clearly just don't get it, it's not that we couldn't do more to educate them to get them to get it. It's more just like, yeah, we're as a small team, like, that's not our priority. And we don't want to be rude, but we do have to accept that. And so, I mean, like, I probably canceled like 5 trials when I was on that, gave some refunds, and it was just like, hey, guys, like hey. Like,
that's something only a founder
can
do.
No, and that was the thing. I was telling like, the support team, I was like, look, like, I'm not expecting you to just like go approach it the way I did, but ask yourself genuinely, like, you have a good idea of the questions that come from people who have a good idea of what they're trying to do and are running into issues. Like, you frankly, like 90% of the time, you can figure out which bucket someone falls into, if they're in that or not. And if they are, awesome. Like, do as much as you possibly can to try to help them. If they're not, we're not just going to ignore them. But like, we can't jump in and treat them as though they're one of our best customers and spend a bunch of time on them when they're not even going to pay us. And if they do, there's like a high chance of a chargeback or at least like a refund and all this. So it's just like, it's stereotyping, it's whatever, but like, we have a very good idea of who those people are based on the questions that they're asking, but we don't prioritize it accordingly in the moment. And that was, it just kind of was like obvious to me as I was digging in last week.
Yeah, man. I think that ruthless prioritization is so hard, like, but so important, especially for me, especially on the product side. Building the things for your best customers. Yeah, like you said, like, there's the vocal minority that I think are the hardest to ignore, right? Because like, your best customers often are the ones that say nothing. And so like, how to extract that information is really hard, especially, I mean, dude, like, I've been podcasting a long time, but I'm not like a power podcaster anymore, you know, like, and so thinking about like, I'm not my best customer maybe is challenging. It introduces a whole nother kind of set of challenges. Cause I think you and I both have been our best customer for a long time. And like, yeah, that's a whole nother ball of wax, but
yeah. And I mean, that's a lot of what we're dealing with too. And yeah, we don't need to unwind this entire tangled mess, but I do think there's like, it's worth talking about a couple of the points. I'm like, for us, it's why I think it'd be really hard to build a successful business in a space that you really didn't live and really don't understand. You can do it, but it's very difficult. But at the same time, we found it's like having that extra context can be a detriment because you often feel like you don't need to talk to customers as much. And there's absolutely like the people who really are bought in to the Saberson methodology and what makes us different, all of that. We get them and we do talk with them, but like we don't have to as much to really know what they need because we're that person and we're a couple steps ahead. So like we know what we're doing ourselves and we can figure out how to build some of that into the app for them. But there's another segment entirely of the people who are serious DFS players, but don't use SaberSim and use one of the tools that we think are just not good at what they do, but people get good results from it. And it's like, oh, rather than trying to guess about the specific things that they do and think from first principles and try to figure out how we can help them, it's like, let's just ask, get on a call with a couple of them and ask, what are the things that, like, what's stopping you from using SaberSim? Like, what are the things that when you tried it out, just were non-starters? And then we'd hear it from them. I was like, oh, okay. That makes sense. And we'd talk about like a feature that we had spent, honestly, like I personally spent well over 100 hours mapping out and trying to figure it all out. And I was dealing with edge cases that when I talked to the kind of person I was really trying to help, I was like, oh, okay, this is just not at all how they'd be using it. So I can just ignore that stuff. And so it's also easy just like have too much confidence that you understand what they really need without actually like talking to that person.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I mean, I think ultimately for us, there's more I want to talk about in future episodes, especially around, okay, this is what matters most to our ideal customer. But how do we get there? What do we build? Because I think it's not easy to prioritize on that level, but with discipline, you can get there. What I think is really difficult is to say, what is the least amount I can build towards this to get most of, like, what is the 80-20? What is the minimum effective dose? Like, what is the least amount I can do to get most of the result? We always jump right to the complete solution. It takes a shit ton of time. And there's QA is a mess because we're trying to cover for like every edge case. And it's like, okay, like our best customer, like they're not going to have this problem. It's not to say there won't be a problem there, but like they're not going to have it. Let's just put up a good dialogue to explain what went wrong. But if they can't get past it, like, sorry, you're like, that's fine. Like that's good enough. That's where we're really trying to focus now. And it's tough, but I think you hit diminishing returns very quickly. And usually there's just like a few ugly things you can build to fix most issues. And that doesn't just mean code. And I think that's also where things can go astray is saying, what can I build in the software for this customer versus what can I do to help them achieve their goal faster, better, whatever. And a lot of it's going to be content, a lot of it's going to be education, a lot of it's going to be things other than writing more code. But we feel like when we have developers, we've got to write code. So we just always go there. So a lot of other stuff. Yeah.
That exact conversation around a topic this week. One person said, let's just get on a call with them. And the other person said, we can write this code to do this stuff. I mean, you know, whatever. I don't think both are wrong. Neither are wrong. So it's interesting. It's an interesting case study there.
For yeah. Sure. Well, yeah, a lot we'll have, I'll have on my end as we go a bit farther down this path, but really looking forward to just simplifying our focus and seeing if I'm right about the fact that like most things really don't matter. Let's just make sure I don't do those things and see if I get the results I'm expecting.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody.